If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to read some scripture out of 2 Kings, but 2 Kings chapter 6. And tonight's our fourth Wednesday evening that I've been sharing around this topic, living with an awareness of the unseen realm. And we have looked at a number of passages regarding this topic, just the to cultivate a conscious awareness that a lot's going on that can't be seen with the physical eye, but we need to have the faith to realize that God's moving and working. But there's also times when things break into the physical dimension. We express that in different ways when heaven invades earth. Jesus said, kingdom of God come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's certainly a scripture that speaks of what's being orchestrated in heaven being manifested on earth. We have so many stories throughout the scripture of times when the inexplicable, the unexplainable happened and people knew it was God. And we just want to be a people who are open to the activity of the Holy Spirit. And but also who are well aware that not every spirit that moves is the Holy Spirit. We're to discern the spirit. This age is infected with the spirit of Antichrist. John said that a couple of millennia ago, and it's still true today. But tonight I'm going to do something a little bit differently. I'm going to read some scripture out of 2 Kings chapter 6. But primarily tonight, I want to share a little testimony of the earlier years of my ministry, like the first decade. I think about every story I'll share was during that time, just a few stories tonight. But I grew up believing God could do anything. God was a God of miracles. But I really didn't have a theological grid or framework to know, well, what does that look like? How do you discern that? How can I know if something's the Holy Spirit or not? And so I just didn't have a lot of framework for the unseen realm. But when I was called in the ministry and began ministering, then I began to be confronted in different ways by in ministry situations where I experienced things that over time made me well aware that, listen, there's just a lot going on that we can't see. There are spiritual influences in this world. Not all of them are good. And so I'm going to dip into a few stories, but let's read the scripture first in 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, the context is the king of Syria and his troops would invade Israel and attack them. And in this particular season that we find in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, who was the prophet of God at that time, the well-known prophet of God at that time, he basically, his prophetic gifting was so accurate, and so the veil was so thin over his life that the Lord very often would give him the location of where the enemy was going to be coming in. Even the enemy's, the king's servants, when they explained to him what was going on, said, the king of Israel knows everything that's going on and being talked about and said in your bedroom. Because there is a prophet that's telling him that. And so the king of Syria would send his troops out to lay ambushes. God would speak to Elisha. He would tell the king of Israel, don't go here, don't go there. And sure enough, they would avoid these skirmishes. And it became very frustrating to the king of Syria. So finally, after he had been informed that there was a prophet that was behind all of this, he sent his troops out to get Elisha. And so we're going to pick up in verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 6. Therefore he, that is the king of Syria, sent horses and chariots and a great army there. Now notice that, sending a great army after one guy. That must be one potent guy, right? It said, they came by night and surrounded the city. They've got the prophet of God hemmed in. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, I think that would have been Gehazi. He said, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, that is told Elisha, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so he, that is Elisha, answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now here's key, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now that's not a description of the Syrian troops. This is a description of the angelic host of the Lord. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. And a real sweet prayer, listen to this. Strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, I'm not going to read on, but if you were to read on, Elisha goes out and talks with them and says, who you're looking for is not him. He was the one they were looking for. He says, but I'll take you to him. So he takes all these blinded troops over into Samaria. And then when they're given their sight, there they are in Israeli headquarters, surrounded by all the Israeli troops. And the armies of Israel say, should we slay them? Should we kill them? And Elisha said, no, don't do that. Feed them. So they actually prepared a feast, fed them well, and sent them home. And they did not invade Israel anymore. There's so much in that story, and I'd like to just dive in and preach on this, because you see mercy, you see all this prophetic happen, but I want to focus on the fact that Elisha prayed for this young man and his eyes were opened. This tells us that God can move upon a person and open their eyes so that they can see through their physical eyes things that are happening in the unseen realm. Now, Elisha saw when he said, those that be for us are more than they that be against us. Number one, I believe he said it because he knew it to be true by his own vision. Maybe he saw them then. It may have been he was seeing it. Probably was. But at the least, he had seen them before, knew they were there, and he knew the ways of the Lord. I believe he was seeing it, and he's basically saying, Lord, let this young man see what I see. This would be the seer anointing. The ability to see the activity that's taking place in the realm of the Spirit. Now, this is not necessarily a message on how the seer anointing operates, but I will say this. Sometimes when it operates, it is the ability to see the present activity in a situation, in the room, in someone's life, on someone's life, to see what is happening. Sometimes that seer anointing may allow you to see beyond the activity that's taking place into activity that's going to take place in the future. So it can be prophetic in that future sense. It can be supernatural in the present sense. But there's different ways the seer anointing can operate. As a matter of fact, in the first 5 years of ministry, in the first church I ever pastored, I found myself thrown into a very, very situation that was going on involving someone's marriage. And I was really praying in this. I mean, I was really burdened because it was a very tenuous situation, a very volatile situation. And I'm young. I mean, I've been in the ministry at that time maybe less than 5 years. And I remember I was in the bedroom and I looked up, and I didn't have a grid for this, but when it happened, I knew it was the Lord. That, you know, this was over a period of years, some of these things developed. But I looked up at the door, and it was like, I'll just describe it like this. It was like large, extremely large bees or yellow jackets just in a ball, just in the air, just like this. And all of a sudden it parted, and I know now that it was a vision. My eyes were open, but I saw this situation. I saw something that had happened. And I kept that in my mind, and when I had to address the situation, it was confessed. It was exactly what I had seen. I didn't know how to articulate what had happened, other than it's like God spoke to me. But it was very, very real. It was with eyes open in the room, just like we're in the room. But yet I knew it was spiritual. It was supernatural, but it was the Lord. And now I would know that it was a vision, and I would know that it was also in that vision, there was, words of knowledge that was coming forth like in video form right out in front of me. I didn't know how to describe it then, but it became, a very powerful bit of information to help people. And that's the goal. That's the goal. So Elisha prayed for this young man. His eyes were open, and he was able to see in the spirit realm. And if our eyes were to be opened right now at this moment, I think we would be astounded at the kinds of activity that we could witness. You know, there is an angelic world. There's a demonic world. Now, some of you that know, that have heard some of my testimony in my early days, for years, every night in my room, I'd see all of this stuff, which I know now, most of which was absolutely demonic. And I was terrified. I was tormented by it. But I thank God for that, because that's been redeemed. Just that seeing part. The enemy wants to pervert, to disrupt, to back us down in fear. And so what I want to do now, this may be a little scattered, but just with this idea that our eyes can be open and we can see things, and there's supernatural activity that sometimes we may be able to see it. Sometimes we may be able to sense it. Sometimes there's just a deep knowing. It can happen different ways, but I want to share a few stories. In the scripture, you know, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He had an awareness that he was going to be dying soon. And I realized that it very well could have been announced that he was going to be executed at a certain time. And he knew, well, that's 2 weeks from now or whatever. It could be that. Or it could have very well been, it could have been both, but it could well have been that he knew. The Lord let him know that his time was near. Now, in the 39 years now of ministry that I've experienced, I've just seen it a number of times when people became aware that it was time for them to go home. Had it happen less than 3 weeks ago with a dear lady that I've known a number of years. And just a couple of days before she died, that was able to share with her what I'm sharing with you now, how Paul knew it, because she was saying that she was ready to go. Everybody was still praying, believing, but she just had this peace. I've seen that on people. And think about what a gift that is. To have the peace to know the Lord says, you know, you fought a good fight, you finished your course. It's time to come back. And to have that knowing at that time. I was visiting in a hospital. This is when we were pastoring in Mississippi. I was fresh out of seminary. And there was an older lady, and she was on her deathbed. I went to the hospital. Her family was gathered in the room, and she was laying there on the bed. And this kind of in a fan shape, there was a number of family members, just kind of like a half circle around the foot of her bed. They stood there. She was out of it. She had been in kind of a coma type state, you know, that the last phase of life. She had not opened her eyes. She had not communicated in a few days. She was non-responsive. The family was called in. Her vitals, of course, were waning. It was time. And I never will forget, because we got in the room, gathered around. I said, well, let's have a word of prayer. And before we pray, I just want to read this psalm to you. And I read the 23rd psalm. To most people, I still love it. It's such a comforting psalm. So I began reading the 23rd psalm. And in the midst of reading the 23rd psalm, her eyes popped open. She sat up. And she looked, and this is what was so unusual. She looked every family member in the eye. I mean, just focused. She went right down the row around that fan-shaped half circle to every family member. And when she got to the last one, she closed her eyes, laid back down, and just a little bit later, she was gone. And you would have had to have been there, but it was absolutely undeniable that she, it's just like the Lord touched her, awakened her, and she had one more opportunity to look her loved ones in the eyes. Never said a word. And when she closed her eyes and just went back to where she was, the family was startled and started, did you say that? I've never seen anything like that before. And we thought, and then we had a word of prayer, but it was comforting to them. Though no word was spoken, so much was said through being able to have that one last, I love you look. So that, I've never forgotten that. It was just one of those holy moments to me when the Lord was really present in a very comforting and loving way. Now, on another occasion during this same season in my life at this church, I was at church early. I was the only one at the church. I was in my office, and I heard someone banging on the wing the administrative offices were in. We had an entrance, and somebody was knocking on the door loudly, and I was there pretty early. This was probably before 7 o'clock, and so I went around, and there was a younger woman that was standing outside the door. She was upset. She was crying. I thought all kinds of things went through my mind. She's in trouble. Someone's after her. I didn't know. I went, opened the door, introduced myself, and she came in. She said, are you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. And so we stood there in the hallway, and she told me her name. Well, I'd never met her before. She had never been to our church. She said, I'm just trying to find the closest minister, the closest church that I could. And I saw a vehicle here, so I pulled in. And she told me what had happened. Just like an hour or so earlier, she was up early. She was downstairs. I think she said like in the kitchen, probably getting her coffee. And she came through the living room, and she started up the stairs, back upstairs where the bedrooms were. She started back up the stairs, and she looked up, and at the top of the stairs, her dad was standing there. This is here's the deal. Her dad lived in the northeastern part of the United States. I forget. It was like Delaware or New Jersey, one of those states. I forget. That's been a number of years ago. She said, but her dad was atop the stairs. She said, and he lives in, told me the state. I mean, this is in Mississippi. And she said, I looked and I saw him. And I said, Daddy. And he just disappeared. And like just 2 or 3 minutes later, the telephone rang. She picked it up. answered and was informed that her dad had just passed away in a hospital in the state, New Jersey, Delaware, one of those states. And so she was like freaked out, startled to no end, because she could not deny what had happened. She said, I don't know how to explain this. And so I asked her about her father. She said he was a Christian. We talked about that. And I didn't know a whole lot to really share with her other than say, well, I do know there is an occasion when Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah was present there with him. And obviously the Lord's gotten your attention. And so I just kind of turned it toward, what's your relationship with the Lord? And I talked to her about the Lord and prayed with her and tried to comfort her and so forth, and get her to consider her own spiritual walk with the Lord, which wasn't in a good place, as my memory serves me. What do you do with something like that? And that's not the only time that I've had people share with me that something like that has happened. But the timing of it, there's no denying that a child would know their own parent, you know. And if you could have looked into her face, you could realize this was not something that she had imagined or made up. She was just going about her mourning, didn't know anything that was going on with her dad, but found out that, you know, during the night, and he just died just a few minutes before. So, what would I say to someone now if that happened? You know, I could see where the Lord might allow her, you know, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. So when you die, you're with the Lord. Could it be that the Lord allowed that to happen? And I don't know the end result in the man's daughter's life. I never saw her again after that morning. But I can't deny that that happened. And I have no difficulty believing that she saw what she said she saw. And I do know this. It's interesting. I don't believe it was the enemy in any way. Because as it happened, the first thing she did was try to find a pastor and try to find a church and try to have some connection with God as a result of what had happened. So we have to be careful not to construct boxes around how God may or may not move and work. I didn't see anything necessarily unscriptural or particularly sinful in that. Then you got the whole story where Samuel is summoned up from the witch of Endor. And I'm going to let Pastor Doc preach on that sometime. But I mean, this stuff is in the Bible. Okay. This was beyond the time of which I'm speaking, but my stepmother, when she died a few years back, I was able to visit with her a few days before she passed, but she was battling cancer. And I stood by her bedside. She grabbed me by the hand and began sharing with me, like I think it was a couple of days before I visited, she said she had an angel appear at the foot of her bed and just stood there. And she had tears, but joy resonated from her voice. If you could have only seen this, it was so comforting and encouraging to her. Now, I've had the privilege of seeing in the angelic realm at times. I know some people, that happens a lot for them, but it is real. And I think what God allows a person to see, I always feel like there's some purpose and reason behind that. I don't necessarily think it's like, watch this right here. You know, I don't think God's doing that. He's got a purpose in it. You know, he's going to be glorified in it in some capacity. So another time that I believe people can experience these kind of things is when they're in a crisis and are very fearful situations. Again, very early in my ministry, in the first pastorate I had, we were at home one night, and Andrew was just a little guy, maybe 4 years old, something like this, a couple of years before we went to seminary. And the television had been on. We were really careful about what our kids saw on television. I mean, even the commercials. We kept the remote and we'd zap it off or we'd change the channel. But we were out of the room, and I came in the room, and there was one of these scary commercials. It's kind of a Creature from the Black Lagoon kind of thing. That's, at least that's from my era. That's kind of what we'd call it, you know, kind of a scary thing. And he was bug-eyed about it. And so shortly after that, we put him to bed, and we were concerned because I knew from my history how some doors had been open and things I saw as a child that just literally terrified me. And after that's when my sleep started being disrupted and I started seeing all this stuff. But I didn't want that to happen to my children, so we prayed over him, you know, prayed with kids every night. So I went to bed, went in, tucked him in, prayed over him, said our prayers. And then I went back in the living room with Mickey, and, you know, about a half hour, I said, well, I'm just going to peep in and check on Andrew, make sure, because I was really concerned. I said, I want to make sure he's all right. So I went to his bedroom, and I eased the door open, and I was just shocked by what I saw. Because there, he was fast asleep, little head on the pillow, but floating about 2 to 3 feet above him was just a cloud. It was just a white, billowy cloud, a real thick, heavy mist. There was no physical explanation of what was going on, but it was just hovering over him. I did the, you know, blink my eyes a few times. There it was, undeniable. And I backed out of the room, and I thought, well, I'm going to show this to Mickey, and I peeped back in, and it was gone. And I really believe that was an angelic presence manifesting, watching over him. He slept fine. He wasn't, he didn't wake up during the night afraid or anything like that. But that, I can't tell you how much that reassured me, because I really struggled with, I did not want happening to my children what I had gone through during the years, during the night season. I just did not want them. And it's like the Lord was reassuring me, I've got this covered. I'm taken care of. You know, the scripture, Jesus said that his angels does watch over his little ones. So by faith and by scripture, we know they're there and they do. But that night, the Lord let me see it. He opened my eyes, and it greatly encouraged me, and it greatly comforted me. So sometimes in those fearful situations, God will reassure us. Another time that you may see some activity like this that can manifest, I'll just say it this way, is times when occultic powers are at work. I'm trying to look at the age in the room here, okay, because I do want to be careful. I don't want to unnecessarily alarm anyone, but and I'll be selective in what I share here, but there are times when there have been times when I have seen both sides of the spirit realm simultaneously, the demonic and the angelic. But back in this time, Let me give you one that's easy to share. When I was pastoring at the same church in Mississippi, there was a game warden in our congregation, and I had dealt with some a few situations in the city that involved Wiccan witchcraft, people that were practitioners of that. And I had an experience with someone who was in New Age and was really into utilizing crystals and so forth to summon energy from the earth and all of those kind of things. And during that time, I had a game warden who was attending our church, and he learned that I liked to deer hunt. He said, well, I'll tell you what, one day I'll just give you a call, and I'll take you out and show you some hunting places on public land, some good places to go deer hunting. And I used to be a big hunter at that time, and I hadn't hunted much. I thought, well, maybe this will be a time I can get started back hunting. And so he called me one day, and we went for a drive out into the forest. And we went way back into the forest, and he pulled over in front of a small white country church that had become dilapidated. It had been abandoned, and you could tell windows had been busted out, door busted open. There was graffiti on the outside, and he said, I want to show you something. So we got out of the car, and where we got out of the car, the cemetery was on one side of this gravel road, and the church was on the other. He said, let me show you over here. He said, notice how all of these tombstones have been turned over, and some of them are missing. I said, yeah, you're right, they are. They've been broken off, and they were gone. He said, come with me. So he carried me over to the front of this church, and the two doors on the front of the church were broken in. He looked in, and the floor, there was places where they had started fires in there on the floor. Their holes literally burned into in the floor of the church. Graffiti and all over painted, spray painted on the wall and so forth. And then he said, come with me. And we went around the outside of the church. And on one side of the church, there was a huge circle that had been made out of these tombstones that they had taken out of the cemetery. And he said that there are occultic groups and some Satan worshipers that come here. And some of them, they come here and they do drugs and so forth. Some come here and they have these rituals. He said, this is an altar they've made. And he said, you know, like sometimes you may see some blood here where they've sacrificed an animal or something like that. And this was strange for me, particularly in these days. I didn't have any trouble believing this because we studied about this in seminary. And I'd had this, you know, like I said, a few situations that I dealt with. But it just came over me. I don't recommend this. I just stepped right in the middle of that thing. I don't know if it was part of me. I just wanted to show this game more than I wasn't scared of no devil, you know, or whatever. But I stepped in the middle of that thing. And I said, Lord, I pray you put a stop to what's going down here. Just clean this place up. You know, we just pray all this be bound away in Jesus' name. And I prayed along those lines as much as I knew how to pray along those lines at that time. And we looked at each other, and he took me on around, and we did our thing and went back to church. That was on a Tuesday. The next day, of course, was Wednesday, and we had church on Wednesday night. Well, before the service started on Wednesday night, in comes my buddy, the game warden. He walks up to me. He said, Pastor Eddie, did you hear what happened? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you know the church that I took you to yesterday? I said, yeah. He said, you won't believe this. He said, last night, lightning struck that church and it burned to the ground. I said, well, yeah, you know, we know that's the devil. The Lord done took care of him. You know, that's just a story. You can do with it what you want to. I wouldn't even encourage or recommend anybody to do that now. With the Lord just protected me in maybe not having, well, he blessed it if he did that. But coincidence or nay, you can draw your own conclusion, but their place of worship was no longer. So But you don't forget stuff like that. But I can tell you, since that time, there are very organized groups of people that literally do worship the enemy. I'll say it that way, okay? By name and by ritual and by sacrifice. And it's a lot more developed than you may believe. And you would be surprised how many people that are involved in that. In the daytime, they have jobs where they wear three-piece suits. Very well-to-do. Some are very much of what you'd call the elite. Because Satan isn't at its core is about power over people. Manipulation, control, and power. Because that's what the devil does to someone when he gets a hold of them. The Lord invites us to submit to the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. He'll lead us into truth. He'll show us things to come. He'll convict us of sin. But the enemy, he will thrill you, and then he'll kill you. He'll fascinate you, and he'll assassinate you. He'll deceive you and seduce you until he binds you, and he'll fool you into making choices until the foolish choices you make make you, and you can no longer choose because you are bound. That's the devil. That's what he does. So we do need to be aware of that. We do need to be aware of who we are, and we do need to be aware that people are influenced. And just like Elisha's servants was able to see, what God was doing in the spiritual was so much more than what was manifesting through the enemy in the natural. Sometimes people think when you're talking about God and Satan that like they're equals. They are not. Satan was created a holy and perfect being that worshipped and honored God until he was lifted up in his own pride and decided he would ascend to be God, try to move God off the throne. And he led the angelic third of the angels in rebellion against God. But he was originally created by God. He's still a creature. He's not an omnipotent, all-knowing, ever-present being. Our God and our God alone fills that bill. The enemy is an imitator. He's always a lesser version of anything that God would do. But you do need to have an awareness and a healthy respect that he can bind people and blind people and deceive people and destroy people's lives. So he's not to be taken lightly. The way he works is not to be taken lightly. Paul warned us that he himself can appear as an angel of light. Not everything that's shiny in the spirit world is of God, is of the holy, is holy and of God. So we just have to be discerning. And the scripture keeps us safe. You always ask, what is this causing? Is this causing torment? Or is this drawing someone to God? Is this awakening hunger? Is this comforting? Is this encouraging? Now, sometimes when God does stuff like it'll put fear in you, the fear of the Lord. Just like that young lady that came to the church. She was startled. But she ran toward God, not away from God. And so the enemy will use every trick in the book, like God's out to get you, it's God punishing you, run, run, run. No. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That's the promise of God. And I'm so glad it's there, because it doesn't matter what you're in the middle of or what you've done, if you'll draw near to him, he will honor that word. Because that's what he's been waiting on. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Some of you have heard me share before, and I want to share this too, because I don't want you to interpret whether me or someone else is sharing things they've experienced or things they've seen. The last thing that I would ever want to happen is for someone to feel like, well, I haven't had that happen, so there must be something wrong with me. That's not what it's about. Sometimes it has to do with destiny. It has to do with purpose. It has to do with giftings. And that's all in the hands of the Lord. But every one of us in the room tonight, we're prophetic in the sense that we can hear the Lord's voice. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. But like Elisha prayed for his servant's eyes to be open, I don't think it's wrong to ask the Lord, Lord, help me see what you want me to see. Help me to know what you want me to know. Help me to hear what you want me to hear. Almost every night when Mickey and I are praying before I go to sleep, I'll pray, Lord, we pray that our dreams would be of you this night. How many ever had the enemy invade your dreams? Most of us know what that's like. Well, the Lord can come in your dreams too. That's part of. Sometimes you may not have a seer experience like being fully awake and just all of a sudden you're seeing something. But wow, in the middle of the night, the Lord may come and visit you in a dream. And you may have very vivid dreams where the Lord is showing you something. Or something he's wanting you to discern. And the Bible talks about how dreams, some dreams can be interpreted. That means that they have meaning. Not every dream you have is of the Lord. You know, we use the proverbial term. Sometimes you have pizza dreams. Sometimes you may have a dream and you can directly connect it to something that was said earlier in the day or you experienced earlier in the day. And you realize, yeah, my mind, I still had that on my mind and processing that. But there are times when the Lord will give you a dream. And so be encouraged that's very much a prophetic, spiritual, supernatural means of God communicating to you when you're given a God dream. So, but we want to develop an awareness of the unseen realm. And I close with this, and I know I've shared this at different times through the years, but just the thumbnail version. When I was born, my mom basically died. She was hemorrhaging, and she testified. I've sat down and I've talked with my mom about this on more than one occasion, particularly after I was called in the ministry, and then again, particularly after I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and kind of things just opened up more than I'd ever seen in my life. I went back and I talked to her again. But my mom, when she was delivering me, she left her physical body. And she said she went up into the ceiling area. She could look down. She could see her body laying on that delivery table. She could see me in my little blue body, because the doctor, I was born with the umbilical cord wrapped numerous times around my neck. I was pronounced dead. I was laid in the bassinet and pushed aside while they worked to try to save my mom's life because she was hemorrhaging. And mom said that she went up into the ceiling. She could see her. She could see me. She could see the doctors. She said she looked over. She could see the waiting area in the hospital. She saw her parents, she saw family members, and later she would even tell them what they were talking about. That's how real this was. And the doctor told her and my dad that I would never walk, I would never talk, I would be a vegetable all the days of my life. But God had another plan. I was revived. A nurse started working with me. Mom said 10 to 15 minutes that I was just over there. But they got her back, stabilized her, and then I revived. And that's when the doctor told him that my brain would have to be damaged because I was so long without oxygen. So as I was growing up, Mom would tell a little of that story, but it would be only after I was fully an adult that she told me the whole story. And I do believe that a lot of my childhood experiences I was having at night, a lot of that was warfare over God's plan and purpose for my life. And I've seen that in the years of my ministry, certain children that would be attacked in a similar way, and only to discover that they've tend to have some type of prophetic gifting that operates in that way. So I don't mean to be vague. I just think there's a lot of variables with individual depending on, what God's life purpose for you may be. But I want to encourage you. It's time for me to dismiss. I want to encourage you to be aware that the unseen realm is a reality. It's really more real than what we call our everyday reality. Why? Because it's eternal. It's eternal. It's not bound by the law of gravity. It's not bound by the dimension of time. It's not bound by the dimension of space. I think, scientists keep discovering what they call new dimensions. It's gone from like 3 dimensions to 4 dimensions up to number of dimensions, and it's just some wild studies that have been done about the various dimensions. But who can explain God and his ways? And for us really to assume that somehow we've been able to diagnose, cipher, and define the universe and how it operates, that's some pretty tall boasting for mere men. For God, everything that we just keep discovering and finding as far out as we can see and reach with all of our modern day equipment, God just said something and all that came into being. God just said something and brought it into being. I mean, just think about that. And yet, he wants you to know him. He's after you. And he will even break into this dimension of our earthly reality to say, hey, this is me. I'm here. This is real. Come. Come. And yes, the enemy will try to work to pervert that, try to get you off track, try to get you into something wrong. But stay with the word. Be led by the Spirit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be open to the unseen realm. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your plans and purposes and destiny for each of our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would be stirred this night to know that you never leave us nor forsake us. Your Spirit is with us. That your angels encamp around about the saints. Thank you, Father, that your eye is on every sparrow that falls from the sky. How much more are your eyes upon us? We are so grateful, Lord, that you so loved us that you invaded our world and became a man to redeem us. And Lord, I pray for this congregation that this would always be a people and a place that's aware of the spiritual dimension, that's ready for the Holy Spirit to move, that knows that you're for us and not against us, and that believe that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, we are your people. Have your way in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, this altar area is open. If anyone needs prayer, feel free to come on up. Thank you for being here tonight. Hope you have a wonderful week. See you on Sunday morning. God bless you.